All righty. Hey. Joel Radio's back. What's going on, people out there? Podcast fans unite. It's time for a new Joel Radio. That's right, it is. Corey Hall is here. He shaved for the show. Thank you, Corey.
Assalamu alaikum.
Only showing the finest respect to this broadcast and its listeners.
Showing respect to the heat.
Well, it is getting warm out there. Michigan spring, now down to about 2 weeks.
Well.
Right? Is that safe to say?
Yesterday it was like 55 degrees.
Yeah.
And then the day before it was 80.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we get really...
It's going to be 80 like tomorrow.
Yeah, we get real schizophrenic weather here.
Well, I'm going to the drive-in this weekend, so look out.
Uh-oh. So it'll rain on you.
Yeah.
It'll be a torrential...
I watched Iron Man 2 in, like, a fucking Category 4 fucking hurricane one time at the Pontiac Silverdome.
There's one old-school drive-in still around in the Detroit metro area.
And that's where I'll be going this weekend.
Ford Wyoming drive-in.
Yeah.
Like it was basically the inside, by the way, in the concession stand.
Yeah.
It is literally 1973.
It's old as fuck. Yeah.
Like if you walked in there to see Billy Jack, you'd have the exact same experience in the concession stand.
Yes.
Like, it looks exactly the same.
If you saw Jaws 2 at the drive-in, you can relive that this summer.
It's basically unchanged.
Yeah.
It's amazing though. If you do.
Yeah, it's. I mean, there's not many of those left. This one,
yeah.
I sort of get the feeling. I just think there's no money in someone to make a luxury new drive-in, even though it sounds like that would hit. I think by the time you add up all the expenses.
And I think that one preserves because it's of its location. The property hasn't been claimed
yet. It's just an industrial area. There's like not, you know.
Well, there used to be when I was
right off the freeway. It's, you know.
When I was like a kid, there were several drive-ins, but they were like, they'd be in suburban neighborhoods and stuff. And then all that property got sold off for condos or
industrial or just strip malls,
or whatever.
You know, because there was the Gratiot drive-in right at Gratiot 994.
Yeah,
we used to go there as kids. The Van Dyke drive-in, which was like at 14 and Van Dyke, between 14 and 15, that's now like a bunch of hotels and like a Menards and stuff. And
there are still some, and you can find this where you will find a drive-in in America.
Yeah.
Is like a tourist town up north.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Or, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like if it's like up, but there used to be drive-ins in the middle of,
and then
in the middle of neighborhoods.
Then there's the pop-up drive-ins, which was sort of the Silverdome one too, which was, we got this parking lot that we're not using. So let's put up a screen and show some movies, and they'll do that.
I remember when I was a kid, it was always fun to be like on the highway and you'd see a drive-in in the distance.
Yeah.
And you'd catch a second of the movie. You know what I mean? You'd like.
Yeah.
See
right.
The
like,
movie
oh,
playing,
look.
And you'd be like, ooh. And then once in a while, you'd be like, can I see a booby? Will there be.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they would definitely show booby movies.
I know. And you're like, ooh, maybe I'll see a boob.
I never knew what the protocol. Like, because now it's FM radio. Like, can you.
Right.
To get your sound. So if you live next to the drive-in,
people would complain if they lived
sound?
They lived too close to the drive-in, then you'd see like you know, you'd hear the noise from it and you'd see
as a kid that appealed to me.
Oh yeah.
To actually live there and go, "Ah, fuck, Ghostbusters is on every night."
Well,
you know?
There was one on Normandy and Coolidge in Royal Oak across from the Bolero Bowling Lounge.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Which the bowling alley's still there. It's Ray's Ice Cream, the bowling alley.
And that's like a flex and gate factory. Is that what that is there now?
Like,
okay,
it's an industrial, you know, it's a factory.
Amir Khan.
Yeah.
Is that his name? The guy who owns the Jags.
Oh,
that's his business.
You'll see the guys with their lunch buckets.
Yeah,
like changing shifts out of.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, but yeah, that was a drive-in in the 70s.
Okay.
In the early 80s, and then that used to be a great corner. We lived over there.
Yeah,
you had the ice cream place.
Yeah,
the drive-in
and
the bowling
Bolero
alley.
And
you had all the entertainment. Right. There.
I can remember. I can at least remember. Well, one more modern one that was great, and I probably talked about it on the show because we were probably doing the show. But as a kid, I remember Rambo First Blood Part 2 with Footloose as a double feature. Those were out the same summer. My mom took me to that. I know I went on a date, which was, and very good movies, Zombieland and District 9.
Oh, wow. So that
was... Yeah, it wasn't that long ago. Talk about great movies.
We took... we saw Zombieland with my sister-in-law literally like 2 days before she gave birth.
Oh, okay.
Like, she was super pregnant.
Yeah.
And that was like the last time we could go out before she delivered.
Yeah. And in Zombieland, sort of forgotten, I think. Very, you know.
I mean,
I don't know. What did that guy go on to do? I know they did some other stuff, but I don't think it ever hit. Like,
it never got a follow up.
Tell me that, Corey. We're going to movie research for Corey Hall.
Yeah. Well, you know, Jesse Eisenberg also kind of fell off the map.
Yeah. But it was Emma Stone and him.
Did they do a sequel to Zombieland, or was it like straight to video?
I think they might have done like a Starz television Zombieland show or something.
Okay.
Is that, am I crazy?
I don't know, but...
You're not finding any Zombieland information.
This is...
the internet has nothing.
Ruben Fleischer.
Okay, yeah, that guy's made a bunch of movies. I think did he make Easy A with Emma Stone as well?
He did 30 Minutes or Less and Gangster Squad.
Yeah. Maybe.
I don't know. The Zombieland was hot for a minute.
It was good. Yeah, that's a great movie. And then, I don't know. People kind of forgot about
Gangster
it.
Gangster Squad slowed him down.
Yeah, Gangster Squad was not great.
That's the problem. And he did... he's doing the new Venom.
All right, so he's a talented
guy. He's getting back in there.
Yeah,
sometimes you get a bomb and it will kill your...
Oh, I think that's what happens. Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of movies, I was at the... I was at X-Men headquarters last weekend, Corey.
Yeah.
I was at Professor X's castle.
Okay.
Is the X-Men hangout.
With the mansion?
Yeah.
Okay,
I was there.
Good for you.
Yeah.
All right.
No, I was.
Is there more to this story?
I'm tickling your ass with a feather, but they shot that at Casa Loma in Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
Oh, okay.
And I was there last weekend. I did an escape room.
Oh, so you had to escape from the X-Mansion?
You escaped from the tower.
You know,
of the X-Men mansion. Now, it wasn't an X-Men theme. I think they'd probably have to pay for the rights
to actually,
that.
Wouldn't that be great if they where, like, you had the guys, like, raiding the mansion.
Oh, it'd be fantastic, yeah.
You had to escape from it.
Go ahead and print your money, guys, because that's what
right,
you get.
That
but
would've made
sense. But, no, they had an escape room, and we did something called Escape from the Tower, me and my girlfriend Layla. We did it. It was a World War II-themed escape room. We had to find the coordinates to German submarines.
Really?
And then radio them in and decipher Morse code. There was 12 of us, I think, that played this game. We didn't know anybody else. But, yeah, it was at the top of Castle. If you've never seen Casa Loma, look it up, because it is the X-Men headquarters. It's pretty impressive. Like, some crazy maniac millionaire built a castle in the 30s downtown Toronto.
Is that where
nuts.
The royal wedding was held? Was that the...
I don't think that was there, but here's because one thing when you're waiting, and you can tour Casa Loma and not do an escape room during the day, but here's some of the movies shot there. Scott Pilgrim versus the World was shot at the exterior.
That movie was actually set in Toronto. So
yeah. The X-Men movies, Crimson Peak, the Chicago musical, Cocktail with Tom Cruise, The Vow, Billy Madison, 54, Jackie Chan's The Tuxedo, Mike Myers' The Love Guru, Johnny Mnemonic Keanu Reeves.
So really some horrible movies.
Some bad movies. How about Strange Brew with Rick Moranis and
Dave
Thomas?
Now, that's a great film.
All right, I'm trying to find good ones. Look, most movies suck, so, I mean,
Strange Brew is a classic.
Movies, I'm trying to find some other ones. The La Femme Nikita television show.
There you go.
But anyway, they had all the movie posters, and they had a reel of movies that were shot at Casa Loma, so that was neat. We were up in Toronto for a couple days, and I'd never done an escape room, and Layla said they were fun, and so I did it. And I'm not going to brag, but I did have to put the team on my back for some of that and say I'm going to carry you through this because I'm very smart. And it was about 8 Asians, and I still said, Asians, look to me.
Well, look.
I know you're Asian, but I got you.
It was a World War II scenario.
Played with a bunch of Asians a World War II scenario.
Look, they didn't have a good track record.
No,
in
they
that
didn't.
War.
Yes.
So, you know, maybe you had to do
that. Yeah, I did good. And we actually didn't escape the room in the hour allotted, but when I talked to the guy afterwards, he said, 12% of the people escape.
Oh, well,
so I said, okay, I don't feel so bad.
Do you wonder if he's shining you on with that stat to make you feel better?
You know what? I'm telling you, I went and looked at some of those things, And a light bulb went off in my head, and I went like, no one's done this faster than me.
No.
And I'm not saying everything, because there's so much stuff that you have to sort of divide and conquer. Yeah. And so there were puzzles that I never got to touch that took people forever. But in the one room, me and Layla took this puzzle about figuring out where the sub was, and we had to add up all these distances and make sure the sub went through oil slicks and deep water only to sort of add up to this thing. And mm-hmm. we got that in like 5 minutes, and these other schmucks... That's right, Asians, schmucks.
Yeah.
I'm all right saying that.
That's a Korean word.
We were better than them. And
Schmucku.
Yeah.
That's in Japanese.
A Dago and a...
Ah, schmucku.
A Dago and a half Chaldean girl figured out faster than they did.
Well, there you go.
So there you have it.
Win one.
But we didn't escape.
Win one for Team Swarthy.
So, but that was really fun, and we went to the CN Tower and had lunch at the Revolving Restaurant to celebrate my birthday.
Well, there you
go. That was fun. So if you get a chance to go, that CN Tower Revolving Restaurant's pretty crazy because it takes like 70 minutes to go around and you're kind of sitting there and everything's moving. It's pretty neat.
I've been up there too.
And then I went to Ring of Honor. I did 3 Ring of Honor shows last weekend, speaking of wrestling, because we got more wrestling stuff coming up here. But,
well, I've never done an escape room, but I've played rooms I wanted to escape.
The Holly Hotel is an escape room, isn't it?
Well, I escaped that one.
Yes, exactly.
I've escaped that one for about a decade.
Did you escape the basement in Joey's Dearborn? Because Bill Hildebrandt didn't. But...
that wasn't really more... That wasn't so much escape as collapse.
It was... Chrissy Burns was trying to blow you, and you had to get out in 60 minutes. It was amazing.
As I've often said, I played there all the time, right? We both worked there.
Yes. It was great. We learned our craft.
And it was at one point...
It was a shithole, but it was great. At
one point,
time,
it was a very hot crowd and a good room, and the last weekend I played there, there was like a whole table of women in like full... Like burkas.
Burkas, yeah.
I mean, not like the beekeeper outfit, but their whole...
Yes, the whole face.
Headscarves were wrapped in like black.
Yeah.
And I'm just going, I don't think I can work this table.
It was going that way.
Not like a bachelorette party. I'm not like, hey, girls, how you doing?
That was a real blue-collar room, you know? Yeah. It was a real lunch bucket guys in there from downriver. And, you know, everyone was smoking cigarettes. And the ceiling, it was like a drop... Yeah. Ceiling of fiberglass panels that was really low.
Where are all the blue collar trash people going? Because it feels like they're not anymore. I mean,
Ring of Honor Wrestling.
Oh, there you go.
Hey, I'll bring it back.
I mean, they're still in the small towns.
The small town comedy, I think, is hot again.
If you go up to Bad Axe, they're all right there.
It's weird. Like, small towns and open mics are doing well, but like,
clubs in cities
that upper mid-level stuff is kind of suffering. So
if you're
weird.
A comedy club in Columbus, Ohio, it's not a good day for you.
No, but
if you're you're in a mid-sized city, it's not as good.
The 1 to 2 traffic light towns, there's a boom.
Well,
there's an explosion.
They need some entertainment.
All right. So went to Ring of Honor. We took the train to Toronto. Then we came back. We saw Ring of Honor at Royal Oak Music Theater. Then I got on a plane solo, went to Chicago, rented a car, drove to Villa Park, Illinois. Have you been to Villa Park, Illinois, Corey?
I can't say I've had the joy.
Oh, please don't. But they actually have a pretty good venue for wrestling there, the Odeum, which is pretty nice. And they shot their weekly television show.
So that's like the Western Burbs?
Yeah, but I mean, it's like, I think I stayed in Oakville Terrace was where the hotel was. And then drove, 10 minutes up to Villa Park. But it's the Warren of Chicago, I want to say. I mean, that's not saying much, but...
It's okay.
Yeah.
That means a lot to people from this area.
The Comfort Suites.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. 2.5-star accommodation score is wonderful.
Ooh. Now, out of how many?
Out of 5,
like
I guess.
Like 70?
I don't know. It was fine.
2.5 stars.
Believe me, I could have slummed it at the, at the Days Inn or something. I don't know, but it was fine. I had a good time at that. I took a million photos, had a great time. I saw a lot of the New Japan guys were on this tour again, so it was fun. I know you went last year, and we had fun. But they went to a bigger venue in Detroit, Corey.
Okay.
Royal Oak Music Theater. They upped their game.
Now, how many do they get in there?
It's about 1,000 for Royal Oak Music Theater seated, and 900.
So how do they set that up for
wrestling? Well, they basically, Royal Oak Music Theater doesn't have permanent seats. They put seats out.
So it's got like a mezzanine.
Right. There's permit seats up there, yeah. I think, but the main floor is general admission, but they can put chairs out for comedy, well, wrestling. So then the wrestlers come off the stage into what would be like the pit area at a concert, and that's where the ring is.
The Royal Oak Music Theater, which I don't know when they named it the music theater, but it was originally a classical movie theater from the 40s.
Jerry Lewis went there did roadshow films and would introduce them.
Billy West told that story.
He walked
like 2 miles to go to the Royal Oak Music Theater
And they still have a grand marquee, which the marquee is the nicest thing about that place. I mean, it's not all that great inside. It's fine. It's not like a dump. But it's not, you know.
But this is what every town in America had, like a big grand movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
And this one's not it's nice in there, but it's not
the Fox.
It's
or
not
something,
as ornate as the Fox or some other of these classic movie palaces or the Aztec or whatever in LA. But or the Egyptian. It's a cool, it's a nice old movie theater, but they took all the seats. I remember when it was a movie theater.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
And they tore those.
Yeah, I mean, I saw the Pixies and it was theater seats,
We were probably at the same show.
Yeah. Well, let's do more. You want? I saw Evolve last night too, which was my girlfriend went to 2 wrestling shows in like 9. I went to 4, but she went to 2.
You know, you guys haven't been together that long. That's some dedication.
She enjoyed because Evolve runs a Knights of Columbus Hall in Livonia. It's like 500 people, probably a third of them standing. So it's not. There's like 3 rows of seats where we were sitting. We were the third row, but you can see those guys hit so hard. We saw Keith Lee against Matt Riddle, which those are 2 big indie stars, and it was Keith Lee's final Evolve match because WWE signed him. Keith Lee's a big giant African American fella who hits like a ton of bricks. He's amazing. Keith Lee's great.
Yeah,
and so we saw them in the main event. It was really good. A lot of wrestling. I'm going to the big All In independent show in Chicago as well.
Oh, are you?
September, yes. I have a great seat for that. The thing sold out in 30 minutes. It's amazing. So you're going to see the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, all those guys. So let's open another pro wrestling crate. We did this a few weeks ago. Corey showed up at my door, and they had just delivered this, and then we'll move on to some other stuff because we got to talk about Solo, Corey.
Wow.
We're going to the next podcast. Do you want to open this or should I? Is it more fun if you open it?
Well, let me see what's
in
it.
It's my junk. I'll just get rid of this tape, and then you open it. And I think I know. Now, remember, there's a card that's going to have the spoilers. So set that aside, Corey.
Okay.
Here you go. Knock yourself up.
Well, I was, maybe.
Corey Hall unboxing my pro wrestling.
Maybe I won't even know what all this stuff is.
Yeah, maybe you won't. But set the card aside before it ruins it, because it should be 2 t-shirts. Right. Yeah, set that aside.
Okay.
And then.
I'm just going to take a photo here.
Yes, please. Send that to any girl that would ever want to date me. Make sure they don't.
You've got one that
I do.
A
I got
show.
Girls. I got a girl.
Look.
She's been to 2 wrestling shows and she had a good time.
I've been with my wife for 11 years.
Yeah.
There's no chance on earth she'd ever go to a wrestling show. All right. So I don't even know who these guys are.
All right. Well,
it says best friends forever.
Hold it up for me.
Well, you know what it looks like to me?
Oh, is that a pin? Best friends forever pin?
Best friends forever. You know what it looks like to me?
Let me see. Well,
it looks like Duke Mitchell and Sammy Petrillo from Bela Lugosi meets a Brooklyn Gorilla. Who are those guys?
That's Chuck Taylor and Trent Barretta.
I have no idea who those
Trent Barretta was in WWE for a while, and okay. Chuck Taylor is the Kentucky Gentleman in Indy. That's a baby blue shirt.
All right, this is like a Kenny Omega shirt.
What is it? Oh, it's the Golden Lovers. Oh, hold it up for me.
The Golden Lovers.
Hold it up for me. Right, I want to see that. That's a nice shirt. I'm wearing that for sure.
There you go.
It's Kenny Omega and Kota Ibushi. They were a tag team a million years ago. They kind of, in the past, they've done a gay gimmick.
Sure.
Even though Kenny is now Kenny the Cleaner Omega. Uh-huh. And they've been rivals. They've been tag teams. They've been a tag team, and they main evented the New Japan Show in Long Beach in March. So
then we got another T-shirt here. That's
a black one. I can't tell.
It's Meng the Barbarian. Oh, Meng and Barbarian.
Is it really a Meng and Barbarian T-shirt?
Meng and Barbarian.
Let me see
it's
that.
It's the Faces of Fear.
Okay.
It's a very metal looking shirt.
Yeah, boy, I don't know if I'd wear that one.
I like it.
Do you?
I mean, it's crazy.
If you want to fit into a large shirt.
You know where you'd wear this and get street cred is in the Juggalo compound. You go into the.
I'll be there soon. Come on, people are listening. Let's
I'm
go.
Just taking a picture,
taking photos right. of everything.
Well, you know, God, you know, the fan. It's a visual medium now, guys.
Well, I'll get you a pro wrestling crate for your birthday.
All right, and then there's earbuds.
Oh, it's I could use
it's
earbuds.
Rock and Roll Express. Earbuds.
Oh, well, there you go. There you go. I just got my $40 worth right there.
Now I don't know which version.
Throw those over here.
There you go. I don't know which.
Well, it's got to be Ricky and Robert.
Ricky
I mean,
Robert,
why would it be
the original?
Else?
But weren't there more than one Rock and Roll Express?
I mean, I don't think
there
anyone.
Couple, there were a couple.
Would have
okay,
ever
so
said there's another. Rock
there
and
was
Roll
Beautiful Bobby and Stunning Stan Lane.
Well, there was Beautiful Bobby was and Sweet Stan. Well, it was,
Sweet Stan Lane was the main.
Well, there
Midnight
were
Express. And before that, it was Dennis Condrey and Bobby.
Yeah, but it was actually Dennis Condrey and Randy Rose.
Was
so
the
there was
name?
Actually a Midnight Express versus Midnight Express feud at one point,
okay.
Corey. All right, what else we got? Come on.
Now, we have a Road Warrior Hawk.
Okay, the mini
these are kind of cool. You've gotten
the
these
Rumble.
In all
yeah,
all
I got an Andre
packages,
the Giant
right?
one. Yeah, yeah, that's neat. I like that.
They're little figures.
Score for that.
Kinda,
thank you.
Kind of squishy rubber.
So we're 3-for-4 here.
Figures.
Maybe
those
3-for-5. Who's the DVD this month?
This is a How to Man Up with the Briscoe Brothers. It's a
I like the Briscoes are good. Yeah,
I
they're the Ring of Honor tag champs.
Shoot interview. With the Briscoes.
The Briscoes are kind of crazy.
It's not like a... I would thought it would have been a best of Briscoes.
It's just an interview with the Briscoes.
The Briscoes have this gimmick of just being like dirt tattooed.
Where are they from? They're from Delaware or somewhere? Like some backwoods place of Delaware.
Which you don't think of Delaware as being backwoods.
Oh, no, it's backwoods.
But they have a very swamp looking...
Yeah, I want to say I was going to say West Virginia, but I think it's Delaware. But who, it's same
difference.
You know,
these guys look like Jason Bensie tattooed them.
You know no, saying? I think he does better work than that, Jason Bensie. He's a comic, by the way, for those of you playing it.
I'm goofing.
Well, I might give that a look. I like the Briscoes. They're a great team. I've met those guys. What else we got?
And
what does that
there's
say?
There's a Young Bucks car sticker.
Okay, Young Bucks. Yeah.
You could put that in your back window.
Sure. Yeah, I love Young Bucks.
And then, is that it?
Is there an 8x10 in there? Is there an envelope?
Wait, here it is, yes.
All right, who's in the envelope,
and
Corey?
And let's get a drum roll, please.
Who's the 8x10, Corey?
Oh!
Oh, Corey's excited.
It's Axe and Smash of Demo.
Yeah, all right, there you go.
I would frame this something right now. That's something.
The Demolition. Here comes the Axe, here comes the Smasher, Corey.
I mean,
it's Demolition, the Walking Disaster. Yeah, I know the theme song.
That's pretty good, right?
Yes, actually considered a better tag team than the Road Warriors when it came to the in-ring, Corey.
I would believe so. Well, the Road Warriors
They were the knockoff WWE Road Warriors, but they were actually probably better wrestlers and had better matches.
Well, the Road Warriors
and ultimately feud with the Road Warriors.
The Road Warriors were kind of these indestructible guys who'd squash everybody.
It was a different style because the Road Warriors came in and basically, you know, squashed guys, and then Demolition would have more competitive matches with you know, the Brain, Tully and Arn and those guys. And
sure.
Yeah, it was good. Well, that's a nice crate. I'll take it.
Well, there
I
you go.
I like the Young Lovers, the Golden Lover shirt.
I think this Faces of Fear shirt is really
good. Well, you know, I got to figure out where I'm wearing that.
Yeah, I knew you're wearing
Lawns will be cut in that shirt.
You're
let's
you're
just say
this?
That.
You know where I'm wearing this?
Where am I wearing that?
Center line. Warren. Take this on a road trip to Kentucky. You're all set.
So I'm getting my oil changed in Melvindale
in my Faces of Fear
t-shirt.
There you go. There's your pro wrestling.
There you go. Print. Pro wrestling is always good. All right.
Well, I recognized about a half of that stuff.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's more contemporary stuff that you're not into, but
I mean, come on. Mang and the Barbarian.
And the Barbarian.
Actually, the Demolition headshot I got excited about. You got a Jake Roberts one before, too.
Yeah, I have a signed Jake Roberts
one. You could get
that.
All these. You could go get some dollar store frames.
Oh, yeah.
And if you had a room.
And I'll never get laid again. It'll be great.
Oh, please.
Well, I have all the...
Joel, statistically speaking, all of the obstacles to your...
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Your wick getting wet have been vaulted. I mean, it's really... It's kind
He's
of,
overcome a lot, this Joel.
It's kind of amazing.
He's come a long way. If you've been a fan of this show for 13 years, you've seen me evolve.
You're like Jim Abbott. You're like the one-handed pitcher.
Oh, yeah.
You're just basically the fact that you're...
What the fuck are you
that
like?
Your dick has ever gotten
oh,
wet...
Oh, my God.
...is pretty much a miracle.
You take that back, sir.
I'm a married man somehow.
Yeah.
We didn't think that would happen.
We've watched your getting laid go down, mine go up, and they crossed somewhere in like 2008.
Yeah.
Well, and
I switched to a low yield mutual fund.
Oh yeah, you're earning a solid 2% every year versus my variable rate.
No, we had some wonderful transactional marriage sex the other day.
Oh, yeah. It was great.
Well, just sometimes she'll just look at me and go like, come here. Like, she's like, oh, we got, because we're like, look, we're going to go to my parents.
Yeah. You know, say, yeah. Like,
just, I don't want you hulking out at the dinner table. Just calm down.
Look, House Hunter starts in 30 minutes. You want to get this in? Or yeah, is yeah. That, no, is it's, one of those?
I mean, and look, there are other times we'll have, you know, we'll have romantic moments and wonderful.
Sure.
Take your time kind of
yeah.
Leisurely afternoons.
Right.
And sometimes it's like, we're married.
Yeah.
I got yoga in an hour. Let's go and
okay,
do this,
fair
knock
enough.
This out. Yeah, so we spent like the whole day with her family.
Oh my God.
And we went to the niece's soccer game.
Oh, geez.
No, it was cute. Yeah. I mean, that was fine.
Like, that's a thing that's fun to go to once.
Yeah.
If you had to go to all those, you'd fucking shoot yourself in the head.
If I had to go to like 13 of those, I would be.
Were the parents drunk at this? Because that's what they say. Is that,
it was, you know, it was early, so they weren't drunk, but.
Again, I'll ask the question.
It was,
were the parents dry? I hear what you're saying, but I'm asking it again.
Like, it was like 10 a.m.
Could you please answer the question, sir? You're under oath.
I don't know what was in those flasks.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Exactly.
It was like 10 a.m. The parents were having a good time, actually, because I think it was like, that's when they get to like hang out
with adults, yeah.
Because the kids are running around in the field, so they can kind of.
Right.
And it was fun. The other team's coach, the Penguins.
Okay.
The vaunted Penguins.
Oh, my God.
And they had purple shirts, which the girls were jealous of. and these are like kindergarten girls. This is like, you know, this is like kindergarten and first grade
like
girls.
The ball goes up to their hips, basically. It's that.
Well, some of them were super tight. So, yeah. So, we had like maybe two or three players on our team. Like, there was one girl who was really good.
And
our niece was
they're
like,
the forwards.
Yeah. And our niece was like. She's a little taller than the other one, so she was kind of racing down the field trying to score. And then there were like three girls that were sad.
Yeah. Well, that was me. I was the sad girl on my soccer team.
We had some defensive collapses.
The fat kids were on defense.
Yeah. Oh, I was.
Yeah, you were. So it went like this. If you were kind of fat and slow like me or you, we were defense. Yeah. The next fastest kids who had a little bit of skill but we're a little slower, we're midfield.
Right.
And then usually the goalie had some skills and the forwards. So if you sucked, there was still a spot for you.
We had one year where we were undefeated and won the championship.
Oh.
And my dad was the coach, and my dad never played soccer. But my dad's entire strategy was, he had two points.
Oh, yeah?
He's like, trip him if you can get away with it. And pass to Danny.
Okay, Danny was
good? Was just faster than everybody.
Was he like
else.
The little Dago kid or something?
No,
or
was
just Danny
a little
from?
Blonde kid. Danny Solinsky, and he could outrun everybody and
good
would
for
score
him.
Half the time.
Yeah.
And anyway, it was fun though, because I'm sitting there going, I'm like, no, hold your shape.
Yeah, yeah.
Find a pass. Look for the outlet.
I was
corner.
I mean, most of those games are just, you know, it's like a bunch of kids chasing a ball. Once in a while,
well,
it squeaks in the net.
It is kind of funny to watch.
It is,
it is kind of funny to watch kids' sports because there will be a couple kids that can play.
Yeah,
and then the rest of them are just kind of like.
Did you see any own goals or anything?
No. One. There would be things like the pass would come in and they were just not looking for it,
mm-hmm.
or they were talking to mommy or looking for the juice box or whatever. You know.
Okay.
And then like I said, there was one girl that just wandered around the field crying.
Yeah, that
she
is
was just like, you know.
I think there. I mean, I remember
because the coaches got to put them all in.
I remember,
and then like they didn't want to go in.
I think my greatest memories of soccer was like I would stand there with like the other defensemen, and we'd like talk.
Yeah, you just sit there and goof
because the ball would be at the other end of the field, and we'd just stand there goofing around.
I liked playing and wanted to play. I just was slow.
I didn't like running laps.
Yeah,
at practice,
I liked playing the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, the laps were shitty.
I like getting in the uniform, putting on the knee pads, all that stuff.
I liked making contact, so soccer probably wasn't the sport. I mean, I actually liked, I would.
You'd rather play football? I never played football.
Well, yeah, but then in football, everybody would just blow you right over. Those practices.
Well, I was a wrestler in high school, so I did all that shit.
I wanted to be
I climbed ropes and did monkey bars and all that shit.
I expressed some interest in wrestling.
Drills.
And the coach was like, do you know what you're going to get in for us? And then I was like. And I went, oh, and he's like, you got to be up here at like 5:30 in the morning. He's like, I don't think you're, he's like, you got some size, but I don't think you're going to, and I went, And then I went and did the plays where the girls hung out.
Yeah, oh, no, yeah, that was that.
I was like, I could spend 4 years with my face in a guy's crotch on a mat.
I did that.
And, or, you know, putting my ass up in the air to be mounted.
Yeah.
Or I could go hang out with the girls.
No, I mean, I was pretty bad at wrestling until I was like a junior. And then, because I wasn't good, but because I was, I could actually wrestle like freshmen. When I was a junior, because I wasn't that good. So I was beating, I'd beat black guys in wrestling, Corey.
Whoa.
You know that?
Well, who knew?
Yeah, I was pretty good. And when I was a junior and they were freshmen.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's when I got good. I think I was like a match over 500 win percentage junior year. But I might have been like 0-12 freshman year.
I dunked on some black kids once.
Yeah.
They were six.
You dunked on.
And we were playing on a mini play school ramp. But, you know.
All right. All right. So coming up on this show, we're doing this show for you today, me and Corey and that. But coming up this week, we are back with another Star Wars opening night review.
Oi.
And it's Solo, a Star Wars story.
Yeah.
This will be I've assembled our Star Wars Jedi panel, Corey.
Oh, there's a...
And I've not revealed this to you, Corey, but
it's
it'll
be... an assemblage of nerdery.
It is an assemblage of nerdery that will be taking it in, Corey. I have booked for this show, Corey. Returning for his third Star Wars review will be Josh Boab, Corey.
Wow.
That's
right.
Who's back. We booked him.
That's a nerd.
And, how about a girl nerd?
Yeah.
How about... Also returning for her third Star Wars review, Ellen Stakowitz.
Well, that's
writer of Star Wars fan fiction.
That's raw nerd. Right there. That's socially awkward nerdery from Ellen Stakowitz.
But Ellen's funny, and Ellen likes Star Wars. And we'll see. She's 0-2 at making it to the theater on time.
Well,
so this is her next chance.
Ellen is like great on Facebook. Like,
oh yeah, she's
like
a riot.
Super
yeah,
funny.
She's super funny. Yeah.
And then on stage, she sometimes acts like the girl who was playing defense. She gets a little lost out there in the field.
Well, Ellen's, you know, she's half our age, so she's got time to, you know,
and collectively,
she's got time to ripen.
She's a fifth of our combined age. Anyway,
yeah, so she's got, but she's she likes Star Wars, so she'll be joining us. My girlfriend will be there. I don't know if she's going to do the show, but the podcast will be the
four
of us at least. Yeah, so I have 5 tickets for the wonderful MJR Theater.
What about the
Epic
Rougeau
experience.
Brothers? Will they be there?
They'll be there with...
Terry Taylor will be there.
Oh, yeah. The British Bulldogs will be in attendance, Cara. And,
be stellar.
How about Coco Beware and Frankie, the
Jim
parrot.
The Anvil Neidhart will be in attendance.
You have no idea. The superstars.
Now, if you got a Jim the Anvil Neidhart 8x10 in this loot crate.
You know what? I might
have to wrestle you for that.
Well, the thing is, these guys that make it, Pro Wrestling Tees, have deals with all these old guys. That's why it's in there. Now, some of the stuff is WWE licensed, and so they use names and stuff.
I wonder how much those guys... Oh, yeah, they can't use the catchphrase.
They can't use,
guys signed Axe and Smash. I don't think it said Demolition on
there. Right, yeah, that might be the thing. The Demolition name is owned. But, you know, I got my girlfriend to go to wrestling shows with me. And I bought her the Randy Savage Cream of the Crop t-shirt. You know, the famous promo where he's the cream of the crop. There's a t-shirt of that.
Cream of the crop. And he's like, he's got a fistful of...
Yeah, he's like palming creams.
He's got a fistful
it's amazing.
Of
you gotta
diner
see that.
Creams.
Yeah, yeah.
And he just keeps popping them out.
And yeah, you think he's out of creams, and he...
And another one flat.
Like Harry Blackstone Jr., another cream.
Cream of the crop gene.
Oh, yeah. The cream has risen to the... And you know, like, he was in catering coming up with that idea as they're shooting all the...
He just went to the craft service table.
Promo. Yeah.
Fistful of creamers.
It's kind
of
genius. Now it's a shirt. So,
and the beat goes on.
And it goes on and on and on.
Great, great promo.
Yeah, watch that promo. Look at the Randy Savage Cream of the Crop promo, and it's now a shirt my girlfriend wears.
If not the greatest, at least top 5 greatest promos.
Yeah, it's one of those things that maybe was like something he did all the time, or it didn't.
Yeah.
It didn't stand out at the time. And there's a lot of like Dusty. We send each other Dusty clips sometimes, Dusty Rhodes interviews and commentary because it's funny. And and Dusty would do those interviews every week, and now people dig one out on VHS and they put it up, and it kind of goes viral. It's amazing.
I'm gonna go. Let's see. Macho Man Randy Savage, Dusty Rhodes,
favorite promos.
Terry Funk, Just all-time promo cutters.
Well, Ric Flair.
Steve Austin.
Mick Foley.
Yeah.
I mean, the Road Warriors had a formula that was pretty good.
Yeah, but those were like... There were those.
Well, it would start with Paul Ellering usually, and yeah. Then I think it went to Animal, and then Tell 'em About It, Hawk.
Well, those were like...
Well... Those, and then he always started with, well...
Those would be the shouty guys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, Hogan was, yeah.
Oh, well, Jimmy Graham, the superstar Billy Graham.
Superstar Billy Graham, yeah. He, and a lot of guys... Yeah. Billy Graham really... okay, here's...
A lot of guys ripped
okay, here's
his
what... Here's, yeah. here's the... Here's how we get to, like, Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah.
I think, is you go...
This is so nerdy.
No, I got the thing here. You go, okay, I think you would go Gorgeous George...
Yeah, see, we don't...
To classy Freddie Blassie.
We weren't around to watch, like, Buddy Rogers and,
yeah, yeah,
and these guys.
And then you go...
So I'm sure they were great.
Classy Freddie Blassie to Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
And then everybody started doing Ali, and that's where you get to superstar Billy Graham.
Sure.
You get from Billy Graham to Dusty Rhodes to Hulk Hogan. Yeah. Ric Flair stole from Dusty Rhodes.
Sure.
That's through to the tree there, yeah.
Sure. Great. Yeah. The legacy of great promo guys.
Absolutely.
Jake Roberts was good at... His promos weren't as funny, but they were like
sinister.
You'd believe him,
yeah, staring into
like
the camera.
Like you believe he was gonna, he was gonna stab Ravishing Rick Rude,
yeah,
in the neck. Anyway, all right,
Damien.
That's right, with that snake.
But you know, if you talked, because I've spoken to Jake Roberts when he did, sure, Comedy Castle, we hung out a little bit, and he's kind of like that.
He's a little intense.
Yeah, he's kind of. You talk to Jake Roberts about, you know. You're gonna get some food after the show, Jake?
I'm sorry. I gotta reorder my list. Hold on.
I'm gonna tell you about the Leo's Coney Island and their cheese fries I had on the way in. You know, I mean, it's shit like that.
I forgot for pound.
Yeah.
I mean, Ric Flair is a legend, of course.
Yeah,
his promos are great. But I forgot pound for pound, one of the greatest like writers of Piper.
Oh yeah, Roddy Piper.
Roddy Piper's promos were always great.
Roddy Piper's promos didn't always make sense.
Neither did Macho Man's. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
They were, you know.
Well, I think
it was rambling and rolling
Savage,
in the mania.
Savage was so coked up, his didn't make sense.
It was completely...
I think Piper was just crazy. And you know, again, I worked with Piper,
yeah,
and Piper really was a crazy guy. He was,
you know,
he was a scary kind of crazy guy.
And
I love the guy, but he was a little crazy.
Oh, Piper?
Oh yeah.
I only met him once, and he was the soul of friendliness. And,
yeah, yeah. He could be, but
and was so nice.
But that's what was crazy about Piper.
Yeah.
You threw a switch, like when I did that thing and I was hosting his Q&A and we hit the stage and the lights hit Piper in the face, he changed into a different guy, and it was nutty, man.
If I regret one celebrity I met and didn't get a photo with.
Yeah.
And there's dozens of those where I just went, like, I was in the course of doing my job or at an event or whatever, and I just went, God damn, or like... I had a conversation with Potsy from Happy Days.
Yes.
I had like a 20-minute conversation with Potsy about editing and like how to cut trailers and stuff. And never occurred to me to stop and take a selfie with him.
Well,
I just went,
God
damn.
One day Potsy will die and you'd be getting lots of social media likes.
Like Jackie Chan, I made sure to get a picture with.
Of course, yeah.
And now I can't find it.
Oh.
But I have an autograph of his. But
well, you know, if you did like old cell phone photos or even old like digital camera photos.
Well, I know I've got a
phone. They're probably lost because unless you...
Well, I don't know how you collect the... Okay, so I have phones that I know have the stuff on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In a drawer.
Yeah.
I know I've got pictures of Greg Giraldo on stage at Bart's.
Right.
And like,
well, you have to connect them to a computer unless they have internet capability. But see, you know, now it's just I do Google Photos. I sync my phone. If I take photos on my SLR, I put the card in the computer and transfer them over. So I have all my photos from there. And I mean, I took photos with all those Ring of Honor and New Japan guys last year, you know, Kenny Omega.
Right.
You know, I did the story of Kenny Omega calling me a motherfucker and stuff. You can go listen to that. And so I did all those because I'm like, oh, boy, one day I'm going to want these, even though they charge you. And, you know, you sort of go. Like, I didn't do any photos on these last four wrestling shows because I went like, you know what? I spent enough to fucking get here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I may see, boy, we're doing a lot of wrestling content. But I'm also going to the StarCast convention, Corey.
My God.
Which is going to have, and that's that all-in weekend, which is going to have the roast of Bruce Pritchard.
This is the most.
Yeah,
the most
I know. It's
card?
The most nerd out shit. I don't even know if I'm going to be able to make it because there's AAW indie shows that night that I got tickets for. So I don't even know what I'm going to. We'll see. But anyway, all right, let's move on. We'll get off wrestling. Come on, let's do it. Now, movies, we talked about going to the theater, but Deadpool, I didn't see. You didn't see it. But your wife went? How did this happen?
Well, I have a film group that I do these film groups.
Yeah.
And they were meeting, mm-hmm. and Amy went to the movie with her
okay.
friend.
Okay.
She went to Deadpool and said she enjoyed it, and it was a fun action movie.
Okay.
And I said, all right. I didn't see it. Who knows?
Yeah, I'll that might be it. Our drive-in fodder this week coming up is Deadpool.
Deadpool.
But, yeah, it seems like that seems like
I'm not in
fit.
A real hurry to go see it.
No, I mean, and it's funny. I read that it grossed, you know, $120 million with a disappointing $120 million, I read one analyst said. They said it was about 10% off of what they thought it would
$120 million is disappointing.
And it's disappointing. I know. It's very
Which
odd.
Is the movie business.
Very odd that it...
The movie business has numbers
yeah,
that make no
yeah,
sense.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's...
Meanwhile, the movie we covered in the film group about Rachel Weisz and Rachel McAdams... It was an hour and a half of Orthodox English, Orthodox Jews in London repressing each other.
Oh.
And then 10 minutes of hot lesbo action from Rachel McAdams and Rachel Weisz going bonkers on each other.
All right, well.
I mean, they were going for it.
I'm not saying no to that.
Tongues were flying yeah. and... There was like spit swapping going on and
good
stuff
for them.
It was pretty wild.
I like it.
They were.
What art house do we have to go to see this thing? What fucking?
Go over to Rachel McAdams' house.
It's show it far away. I'm sure. One lives near this.
There was
fucking thing.
Intense. I think it's at the Maple. There was intense intensity going on.
Okay, good for them.
Anyway.
I'm glad that in this age of me... Well, it's now like...
The film's called Disobedience.
Disobedience. Because now it's like, you're not going to see guys fucking girls anymore, because that would be wrong.
No.
You're just going to see girls fucking girls. So you got to get off on that now.
Well, heterosexuality died in 2015.
It's completely
I don't know
over.
If you're aware of it, by the way. It was on the way out in 2012,
Who's the chef that got indicted today?
I don't know.
Mario Batali?
Did Mario Batali get indicted?
I don't know if he got indicted or he's being investigated or there's a suit. There's something going on with Mario Batali.
Well, I knew in Mario Batali.
And it's new. All right.
Mario Batali had been under scrutiny.
I'm going to connect some dots for you, Corey. Who made Mario Batali famous? Do you know his backstory at all?
I just remember he had a show on Food Network called Molto Mario.
But he was like somebody's like celebrity chef. And they decided, oh, this guy's a guy that I like. He's got personality. He's a good cook. We'll, because it's a nice. You can start connecting all the dots. Who are the bad people in Hollywood, Corey? I think we're starting to figure that out. Because, and who was Harvey Weinstein's muse, Corey?
Oh.
Do you know who Harvey Weinstein's muse was? Who was his female of choice? Because it's the same person, Corey Hall.
Uh-oh.
Gwyneth Paltrow made Mario Batali famous and was in all the Weinstein movies.
Are you trying to tell me the creator of Goop?
Yeah.
Goop
Gwenny product? Might be a dirtbag. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm putting that out there. I am posing that as a question to you and our listeners.
Well, you know what's crazy is Batali lives, he has a summer home.
Yeah.
And spends his summer up north. In a little town called Northport.
Okay.
Which is up north of Traverse City.
Mm-hmm.
And he lives up there. It's this gorgeous little town.
Yeah.
That's like a tiny little town, but it's got like a brewery. You know what I mean? It's got like, it's like rich people went and built lake houses up there.
There's a lot of rich people up there. So, Tim Allen's got a big spread
like
up there.
Annika
yeah.
Sorenstam's got a house yeah. up there. And like,
yeah.
like Traverse has a bunch of like, wealthy people, you know, Michael Moore lives.
Oh, yeah, Michael Moore's got a mansion.
A lot
up there
of people like
yeah.
live, and Batali has been going up there for 20 years because his wife's yeah. from Michigan. And so he's got.
Well, one thing you have to know, and it's funny, you know.
And so, like, by the way, Traverse City now is a bunch of high fine dining.
Yeah,
and I feel like his presence kind of like elevated the the food scene up there. Where
well,
people are like,
what people have to understand about rich people, and a lot of people don't. And I always see these articles about, you know, artwork.
They have more money.
No, no, no. People buy these places as investments a lot of times.
Sure.
And there are people who own homes who probably never stay in them, almost ever.
Well,
they're really just purchased as places to park their money because the real estate, when real estate, you know, you know, real estate can beat the stock market. So where are you going to put your money? And fine art is a place where people like Puff Daddy bought a $20 million painting.
Well,
what do you think Puff Daddy's going to do with that fucking painting? It's going to be sitting somewhere in a vault. No one will ever see this painting.
They called it. There's a term for that where like 30% of the world's fine art.
Yeah.
Is stuck. They offshore it. They put it in these like
the Saudi Arabian sheiks buy these things.
Or
and,
it'll literally be like a warehouse next to LaGuardia.
Yeah,
and it sits there in a
absolutely
custom, in like a custom free in a tax free shelter.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. and everybody pools their artwork together in these mm-hmm. warehouses, and all these like you know Rembrandts and stuff are sitting unseen because they're an asset.
Right, yeah.
And it's a real waste.
There are people that will donate their stuff to museums. So if you go into even like, you know, the DIA, you go in there and it's a lot of, and you read the description painting.
Or they'll
they're
loan
owned by people and they're loaned there. Because the thing is, if you own if you're going to own something that's worth millions of dollars, do you want to even keep it in your home where it could be stolen? The house could catch on fire, whatever. Yeah. You don't even want to keep it there. So when you say, you know, Mario Batali owns a home and this guy owns a home and that guy owns a home.
Well,
a lot of those people never even go to those homes.
No, but Batali actually.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
People up there see him around.
But that's a lot of what Beverly Hills is, too, and stuff.
Well, because he also gets to go up there and is relatively unbothered.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because even if you're like a celebrity in a small town, after a couple weeks, people stop caring.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're in New York and you walk down the street, people are going to yell at you or what, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, there's places
the locals will go, oh, it's Mario. He lives on.
Because let's face it, how many months of the year do you really even want to be in Traverse City?
Like two.
Yeah, exactly. It's not even a place you really want to be.
It's gorgeous. I love going up there.
It's fine and everything, but it's you know, there's a lot of expensive real estate. People buy and sell that stuff. They park their money there. They get it out.
Grand Traverse Bay is one of the great places in the country.
We can't relate to that because we buy a house and we're fucking living in it and
scraping money to
pay for it and put a roof on it. And these rich assholes.
Oh God,
I've
been working on my parents' house.
Yeah, they got a new house.
It's a nonstop.
I'm sure.
Well, we already have equity in it because it listed. They got it lower than a good price. They got it lower than what it's listing at. But you know, the basement, we had to put water weatherproof the basement.
Oh, yeah.
Cracks. And then she had to put an irrigation system in the lawn so that the water doesn't get in the basement. You know, and this whole, it's just it's all this mishigas.
Yep. That's what regular people got to do with a house.
That's right.
Rich people, not so much. So, yeah, movies, I don't think I've, did I see anything since we talked last?
It's the summer.
It's the summer. Well, I mean, I went to Avengers. We talked about it. We did a spoiler cast.
Sure.
That was the last time I went to the theater. Movies, renting, any of them. I did see Barry. That wrapped up on HBO, and that was great. I don't know if you saw it.
I haven't seen the last one yet.
Oh, my God. People are saying this is the new Breaking Bad, Corey.
That show exceeded my expectations. It's a good show.
Yeah.
It's better than I thought it was going to be.
Right.
Because I took a look at the premise and I went, it's been done, right? Have we done
a little bit.
We've done the hitman with a heart of gold.
The fish out of water.
It's Gross Point Blank. Guy doesn't want to be, he's a hitman.
My Blue Heaven.
It's a hitman who wants to get out of the game.
Yeah.
And we've done that, but Barry is really well done, and I gotta give it, look, I haven't seen the last one yet.
Oh, well, that's it's amazing.
But there you go.
Yeah, you gotta watch the last one. It's real good.
No, I'm just preparing for the summer because, you know, Lord knows I love America's Got Talent.
Oh, yeah, and that's back. And
There's like, what, 6 or 7 shows where Steve Harvey talks to children?
Yeah, that's most of what television will be. Are they doing all the ABC retro game shows again, or is that not a thing?
Well, they've done Match Game throughout the year.
Yeah, I don't know.
A couple times.
I so don't see network television.
If they bring back The Gong Show, I would be shocked. But
I thought that was coming back. I think somebody...
With the Mike Myers in
one of our listeners sent me a thing and said...
Why could Mike Myers not just host that as himself?
Because he's a fucking weird guy?
Such a weirdo.
Yeah.
But I would be kind of interested to see the Gong Show back.
Yeah, the Gong Show, you got to...
Summer television's terrible.
Yeah.
Wait, Joel, you were telling me you weren't watching Royal Wedding coverage 24/7?
Oh, my... No, I saw zero of that. Zero Royal Wedding.
So there were ladies in my film group last night.
Oh,
they were talking about it. And they... Exactly.
Yeah, that's what they were saying, yeah.
And they... No, they're talking about it, and they're all kibitzing about it. And they go, well, Corey, did you watch it? What did you think? And I just went... And they were stunned when I went, why would I give a toss?
Yes.
About the wedding of two nitwit of a fake monarchy of a country that we fought a war to get away from.
Yeah.
I literally cannot understand the mentality of Americans that swoon over the British royal family.
It must be something psychological, because in America, we create our own royalty.
Yeah.
And that's the Kardashians and Beyonce and every moron.
And
yeah.
Look how disgusting those
absolutely.
People are.
Oh, absolutely.
Trump. That's idolatry of wealth leads you to Trump.
Yeah, kind of.
Trump's whole act was, I'm the richest guy in the world. Look at me.
Yeah.
I put my name on all my towers. I shit in a glass toilet bowl. I rest my balls in a fine mother of pearl chafing dish. You know, like, that's his whole goddamn act is gross, extravagant wealth. And the royal family is just that with feathers and guys on horseback.
I just want, just before, you know, you're going to shit on Trump, but he had a tough week. Somebody told him his wife was sick, Corey. And it's hard. You know, you're not putting yourself in his shoes, Corey.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
someone said
his wife was in the hospital.
Someone handed him a note and told him his beard was in the hospital.
His mail order bride had fallen ill.
I saw the headline, Trump in hospital, and I got excited.
Yeah,
and then it was the wrong one.
Meghan Markle.
I have come to have some sympathy for Melania.
Yeah,
because she does look like a hostage.
It does look like it's
because you'll see
Stockholm syndrome.
You know, there's like they'll do the close ups of where he's trying to grab her hand when they're standing there.
Oh
with
yeah,
the
yeah,
photo
yeah. And you don't know how much of that is.
She's standing there posed with the fakakta Easter bunny.
Yeah,
and she just has this like dead eyed look on her face, like
like
a Malaysian sex worker in a cage.
People read so much shit into that, and I don't know. I'm not saying that there isn't this grain of truth. But she's also somebody who, you know, in her career has clearly loves the camera, and she definitely comes, you know, she clearly wants attention.
So does Rudy Giuliani.
Yeah, well, that's
what is he
guy.
Having like mini strokes? What's going on?
You know,
of all the guys, okay, the Trump administration is famous for Steve. What was the guy? The Mooch,
Scaramucci. Yeah,
guy came in and was swinging his dick around and like, you know what I mean? He walked in there like he was going to Bada Bing.
Yeah.
And he was just at, you know.
And he lasted like 2 days.
Yeah, like they had to go. They had, because I feel like there's like the generals and the like grown-ups in the White House who just walk around going,
yeah,
don't say that.
Yeah.
Did you say that? Don't say that.
Well, Omarosa got the hook.
All of the
and
jokers
all these people,
get,
yeah.
He's
Steve Bannon and Sean Spicer.
Sebastian Gorka. He's hired every clown.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like he took the bottom of the open mic lineup and put them first.
Nah, you know what it is? It's like the more you're like him, the less he likes you. Sort of, is that a thing? Or is it like then he's on the phone with
Hannity every night?
Oh, you know that one. Yeah.
Well, I think Omarosa kissed his ass, and I think he liked that.
Yeah,
that she was constantly, she's been trying to spin like, well, I told him not to do this and that.
Yeah,
and I'm like, shut up, Cal. Yeah. We don't believe you. Anyway, but Rudy comes in with this, I'm going to help him. I'm going to fix it.
Yeah, let me tell you what he did.
Hold on, let me take this. And then he literally takes his dick out and trips over it down a staircase.
Well, he was like,
I'm going to
admit,
done.
But isn't it sort of like, I'll admit to this so you don't go looking for more of that? Isn't that sort of?
I know, but
it's
so stupid because he's not helping. He's not helping him at all.
Well, people are questioning Rudy's mental state now.
Oh, yeah. He seems like
because he's 80 years old, isn't he?
He's up there. And
yeah.
Remember when
Trump's like 73.
By the way, do you remember Rudy in drag was a thing he liked to do for gay?
Well, there's a video of Trump hitting
Trump,
on Rudy in drag, yes.
It's like, but he did that more than once. Like, it's one thing if you were like, one time I went to a costume party dressed as a woman. He would do it like every year as like a thing.
Yeah.
Like, look at the big goof that the mayor's dressed up in drag.
We know a comic who occasionally gets in drag, and
we have
questions about him,
too. That's another thing altogether.
And he's not 82 years old,
like,
so
okay,
that
look,
might be a thing
I'm
he
not
enjoys.
Saying, I'm not saying John Cleese is
no,
gender,
yeah, yeah, yeah. I
gender
mean,
fluid.
Yeah.
because right. they used to dress
Uncle
up
Uncle Milty or any of those
guys. The kids in the hall used to dress up a lot, but Jesus Christ, this is, there's a, something weird about when you're like a real conservative and then you're like, I'm going to do this drag as a goof. And Rudy has just been, it's been, I mean, okay, like John Bolton is a crazy man, but I at least think he believes what he's saying.
Yeah.
Like he's a conservative guy that's nuts, but it's not a put on. I don't know what Rudy's doing. Rudy's Rudy's like, hey guys, look at me. You remember me? Oh, hey, we're guilty. All he did was bribe a hooker. It's not a big thing. He took the money out of his own pocket. That was not, oh wait, was I not supposed to say that?
Yeah, it's a weird thing, and I don't know where. I don't care so much.
It's like when it's like when your little brother tries to save you from a fight.
Yeah.
Like, I got this, hold on, and then they just smack his ass over.
I mean, I'm pretty detached from it, obviously. I mean, consistent in that. But, I mean, I also think that fatigue is setting in, and people are sort of realizing that, like, you know, I mean, because it becomes people who, you know, criticize the White House go, you know, this Steve Bannon is going to run America into the ground.
Well, they ran him out.
And they're like, but they're also like, you don't understand that Steve Bannon is acting on, or, you know, and then it's like, well, Trump didn't like him either. And what you're learning is that Trump really doesn't like anybody. So whether you like the guy or hate the guy, you can be assured that and Trump only looks, he likes one guy and it's the guy in the mirror.
Yeah.
And so
he doesn't like getting upstaged.
Yes.
So yeah. Bannon was taking his headlines, and Trump goes, nope, I'll do that. He predictably doesn't really have.
There's not a guy that is.
Trump is predictably unpredictable.
Yeah.
He will generally just do some random thing. And you're right. He wears out on people real quick.
Yeah. I think that if you're worried about a guy, wait a couple weeks and he'll be gone.
They'll be fired.
It's fine. He'll be the only man standing. Trump's going to be the last guy.
I am also
there.
Having some Trump fatigue, but the Rudy stuff just fascinated me.
Well, it was the guy. He was the idiot of the week.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the idiot of the week.
There's a new idiot.
A new idiot. And
I'm just saying, I couldn't name you like six of Obama's staffers, like other than the press secretary. Do you know what I mean? Like they were just boring.
Yeah, I mean,
they were just boring White House people.
That's what they should be.
Exactly.
It is.
But the Trump guys all get hired and go, it's my time. Get the show.
But
light the lights.
Trump is hiring guys from television.
Exactly.
Which is an idiotic way to do it.
Yeah.
It's so stupid. But then again, maybe no one else wants that gig except for people that are showy.
When is Lou Dobbs becoming the cabinet secretary? Treasury secretary, Lou Dobbs.
Stuart Varney will be running
all these,
the Treasury Department soon.
He just looks at Fox and goes,
kind of like, who's on there? All right.
When is Dennis Miller getting a position?
You know what? Listen.
I got in a Twitter fight with Dennis Miller's fans.
Are you saying you won't support Vice President Steve Ducey?
Yeah, exactly.
Is that what you're trying to say here on the podcast, Corey? If that's what you're saying.
Oh, Jesus. Pat Buchanan's pissed somewhere.
My God.
Why do I not have a job? I worked for Nixon. Why are they not putting my ass in there? It's like, it's ridiculous.
Well,
how many
Southern assholes are in this White House? Not that many.
You know what?
This is like an East Coast
dickhead.
Yeah, because
Trump's a New York guy. At least it's not that. It could be like a real like SEC College Saturday broadcast. You know, like, man, I don't know what Alabama's going to do. Nick Saban, man, he's the best coach in the world. That's the worst thing in the world.
Those guys, like the podunk kind of.
Slap-ass, Georgia Bulldog football. I can't take that stuff. No, I got in a fight with Dennis Miller's Twitter fans.
Oh, my God.
Because, okay, tell me if this is a joke.
Well, I hope you won.
Yeah. Well, okay. I did. But
you're the one guy that won on Twitter?
What
did Dennis Miller?
Dennis Miller. People, he's been putting these jokes out, and they're, like, feeble. They're, like, it sounds like a doddering old man.
Yeah.
And he had one where he was, like, when there was the White House Correspondents' Dinner thing.
Yeah.
He was, like, well, this Michelle Wolf seems terrible, and I'll go look her up, and I'll come back with jokes on Wednesday.
Right.
Which was supposed to, apparently, was a joke about how she was obscure.
Yeah.
But it sounded like people were like, when Wednesday.
Well, that was the joke, and people took it literally like,
But it was written in a way.
Hey, it's Wednesday. Where's the joke, Dickhead?
But it was like a week kind of like, I'm going to hold on. Let me get a joke ready by Wednesday. So then when Wednesday came, everybody's like, where's the. Or people were doing like countdown clocks to when Dennis Miller's joke came in. So he was like, he had a tweet that was like, I heard Mueller's looking into Trump's Whitewater connections. And so I just responded, is Mueller looking into where your talent disappeared to, Denny? And it got a bunch of likes, and then all his fans started yipping, and they were all terrible old people who didn't know what comedy was. And it was just funny. I mean, but I got into a whole long Twitter thing with that.
Well, Twitter is fights. Now, let me ask you this, because I think I'm going to give you an either or.
Yeah.
Because we're running low on time.
Because Dennis Miller used to be funny on Saturday Night Live 80 years ago. Yeah. But he's now just, his brain seems broken.
Do you want to do?
Yeah.
You gave me two subjects, and I think we only have time for one because we have to do a very special classic episode here at the end of the show, sure, which we're going to get to. But we have guys upset about Thundercats, and we have a comic getting hit in the face. Which one would you rather do?
We could probably come back to the Thundercats another time.
Well, that's fine.
But there's
we've covered a comic getting hit in the face maybe three shows ago. I mean, I'm not, again, I'll let you decide.
I think the Thundercats controversy will be around.
Right. Well, let's listen to this.
The comedy fights are always good.
And who was in this fight? Do you have any background on this?
I know the club is called...
Look it up. I'm sure you'll find it pretty quick.
Yeah, it's...
And I believe this is Jimmy Kimmel's sister. Jill Kimmel, although she may have a stage name.
Okay.
There's this guy, Darren Carter, who was headlining the Castle this weekend. And he got off stage Saturday night and was like, hey, did you hear about the fight? And I go, yeah, the guy last month in South Carolina. He's like, no. There was a fight tonight. So he was all plugged into these people.
Okay, this is at the Laughs Comedy Cafe in Tucson, Arizona.
Sure.
And the stinger on this is the best part.
All right.
The very end of this video is great. There'll be a minute or two of commotion.
It's a minute and 19 seconds. Right. I'm going to play the clip.
Play this clip.
It's, I don't know.
And you have to see the video to go along with this.
Well, maybe I'll put a link on the joelradio.net webpage for everybody. I'm trying to. All right, so there's a drunk lady in the front row yelling at the comic. I was asking Darren. He knew the other comics, and he said the only people trying to intervene are like the other comics.
Yeah, there's no...
Like, there's no staff working this or anything.
Yeah.
All right, so she throws a glass.
Yeah.
And then the comic goes after her.
Kicks
then the
her.
Woman jumps on stage. The audience is laughing. No one's, like, seems all that upset. Got swung.
So they're still swinging and kind of grabbing hair.
No weaves flying. These are white girls.
Right, but there's a big schmoz and there's a bunch of people on stage. And they're... The tag on this is good. So it's just chaos, right?
Yeah.
And they still haven't gotten her off the stage.
All right, there he is. Hey-o. Ba-dum-bum-bum.
That's the best part
to me. I don't think I watched it to that point. Previously.
That's great.
All right, so here comes the results for you.
There's a complete anarchy.
Yeah.
This woman, she threw a drink right in her face, which, you know, I've had that happen.
Yeah.
I've had that happen at an open mic.
Happened. Things happen.
The beverage was thrown at me.
Absolutely.
But then the comic straight up front kicks her.
Yeah.
She just straight up kicks.
I mean,
the
argument is once somebody hits you, you can defend yourself.
Yeah,
although
I'm not blaming the comic.
I don't know if I would have done that, but I'm in the heat of the moment.
See, the problem with that shit, I feel like when you're on stage, you're working.
Yeah,
and like for me to throw a punch at somebody on stage, it's breaking the rule. You know what I mean? It's like it's something you don't do. Like they're, you know, if you're a chef, there's things you don't put your foot on the cutting board.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Like, there's things you just don't do. And me, I'm being on stage. I'm a professional in that environment. If I start throwing haymakers on people, and like, the one time I had to grab the woman off the stage, the Comedy Castle, I was like, I can't just yank a woman off stage here.
It's a tough thing. I don't think you know how you're going to deal with it until it actually happens. But this lady, I mean, to me, when I look at this, I go, somebody needs to just tell this lady, okay, we're going outside. Get her out of the room. That saves, that fixes there, well, this whole
but
thing.
But she stood there for a long
time. No, absolutely.
And like, you know, when the club you work at, you've got a door guy, you're
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got, like, someone would go get that woman.
Yeah.
She wouldn't just stand up in the middle of the room.
Let's call the police because they're just disorderly conduct at that point.
Right.
And if you're the owner of the establishment and you don't want that person there, that's what the cops are there right. to do.
I mean,
we've had the cops actually escort people out of comedy castles. It's very rare, but it's happened.
I was there one night when a guy called the cops on the castle. He got kicked out.
Oh.
He and his table of like four people were being real loud. So the management asked them to leave.
Yeah.
Then the guy went outside and called the cops and was like, I was harassed and thrown out of the castle.
Yeah.
And the cops pulled up, took one look at Mark and laughed.
Yeah. Well,
because they're like, Mark's, you know, a beloved member of the community.
Exactly, yeah.
And they just went like, please get out of here.
Yeah. It's a weird thing that can happen at the club. It's
people get mad at comedy.
And I'm not saying there's a blanket way to deal with every person who's had too much to drink, but it is, you know, it's a tough.
You have to, if you're a comedy club, and sometimes these shows take place in people's houses or
yes.
coffee shops or
uh-huh.
recycling centers or, you know, abandoned Kmarts. I don't know where people are doing shows now.
Where are those? I'm kidding.
I'm not kidding. They're all over the place.
Is there an actual Kmart now? Can you go to
yeah,
Kmart?
Yeah, there's a couple. It's one in Hazel Park. They're basically in, they're up north. They're like Family Video.
Yeah.
Like drive up to Escanaba.
Yeah.
And they're up there. Huh. Like, you know what I mean? Bad Axe, Michigan, which I went to a couple yes. weeks ago, had a Kmart, a Super K.
Oh.
It had a Super K and two video stores.
Okay.
Like a Family yeah. Video and then like an independent video store. I was kind of excited about it.
The video store. Okay. Let me try to figure out the video store here for a second before we move on.
Yeah.
We'll do our classic episode of the week and out of here, which is going to be longer than normal, but there's a reason why.
Sure.
So at some point in your life, you bought a DVD player. You live in wherever, Bad Axe.
Mm, yeah.
You bought a DVDs came out, I believe, in like 97, probably something like that.
Uh-huh.
And so for 20 years, and somewhere in that intervening time, you bought a DVD player and said, I'm good.
That you don't need to upgrade.
Like, no need to upgrade these. This is a shiny disc that will always look perfect.
This is called old people.
Yeah.
And there are people that had, people kept their VCRs.
Yeah.
For a long time.
True. Yeah, there were people well into the 2000s renting videotapes. Like I get that.
They were renting. I remember, I'm old. I remember when DVD was coming out.
Yeah. And right, well, it would have been, yeah, the late 90s.
And the staff at Thomas Video, who are my friends,
yeah,
a couple of them were vehemently opposed to DVD.
Yeah.
Because they had thousands of dollars in Laserdiscs.
Yeah, oh yeah, I did too.
They had crates and crates of Criterion Collection
yeah.
and Japanese import and foreign import Laserdiscs. And Laserdiscs were the first format that had all the extras and the bonuses.
Yes, yeah,
and
that's where that all comes from.
Commentary tracks.
If you enjoy that stuff, that's where it came from.
And there are still some Laserdiscs that people covet because they have
yes.
the bonus stuff that's never been redone.
Yeah, that stuff all has to get licensed re-licensed.
But, and there's weird stuff like, I bought a Blu-ray of The Terminator for like $5.
Yeah.
Because I was just like, okay, I'll upgrade this.
It's yeah.
$5 at Target or $4 or whatever it was. And I'm like, oh, cool. You know, The Terminator is a... I'll rewatch The Terminator
sure, yeah.
every year.
Even if you watch it once, it's worth $5.
But that's yeah. a movie I'll probably rewatch every year or so,
okay,
two
yeah.
years, whatever. I went, okay, and I traded in my DVD copy
yeah.
to the store. And then I looked, and all the features were on the Blu-ray, except the commentary on the deleted scenes was still on the disc, on the DVD.
Oh, yeah.
And not on the Blu-ray.
Yeah, that's a bullshit
They didn't
thing.
Import the... Because
yeah,
there were like
there
deleted
might have been
scenes.
space reasons.
Not on a Blu-ray.
No. Yeah, well, I don't know.
And, but you know what I mean? It was like James Cameron talking about
yeah.
why he cut the scenes. And you're just like, why do you
well,
do this?
Here's what I know.
So anyway.
About DVDs.
But
though.
They don't have streaming. That's why in
the... Well, they, you could say that the internet sucks in these small towns. And
that's
so
why.
You can't really do streaming. I know that if you buy a set at a store of a movie.
Sure.
Like I bought a few things. I bought War for the Planet of the Apes, and I'm buying 4K now, Because I have the 4K sure. Blu-ray, which is
Xbox
One.
But now you're getting the combo where you get the 4K Blu-ray double disc.
They're not even putting in, I believe, with the Blu-ray anymore, the DVD.
Right.
The DVD is leaving. So what you're getting if you're buying the combo, like in my case, I'm getting the 4K, the Blu-ray, and a streaming code.
Sure.
And that's what you're getting now. So in that case, they're not doing DVDs. I don't know if it means that DVDs aren't even coming out. What might be happening
is that
they're only going to like Redbox and like rental places. Meaning, I don't know that you're going to be able to walk into stores and buy DVDs.
No, you know what? Corey, if you go into Target, they're there.
In the foreseeable future, it seems like that may be going away because
the store, the space allotted,
right, because they're only,
to physical media is small.
They're only going to have one SKU, and it might be Blu-ray. Now, so it's, to me,
there won't be Blu-rays in 5 years. So, I mean,
I'm wondering. To me, Blu-ray is becoming DVD. I'm not buying a Blu-ray. I'm done buying Blu-rays unless there's something that. See, that's the other thing too. Is every time you jump. Stuff gets left that there was stuff on VHS that never came out on DVD. There's stuff on VHS that came out on Laserdisc.
You're the guy that always wants the latest tech.
Well, because you're getting a combo, I don't need the Blu-ray of a thing if you buy the 4K because you get the Blu-ray.
Yeah, well, I just ordered I still get Blu-rays and
But if you're buying something new, you should buy the 4K version, Corey. You're not doing that yet, and that's short-sighted.
No, but these are things that aren't on 4K.
Okay, that's the thing. If it's a new thing.
No.
Because everything is now on 4K. Everything new is 4K.
No, I just, you know.
Any movie that new release
movie
is
going to have a 4K. I stockpile these, survey points and bonus points from all these apps and stuff. And dump them into Amazon.
Okay.
And so the other day I got Rudy Ray Moore's Petey Wheatstraw, The Devil's Son-in-Law.
Okay.
On Blu-ray.
Fair enough.
Now, this is a movie from 1976 that is a $2 blaxploitation movie that I never thought. And it was on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
And it looks like they went back and found
the
35mm print, and it looks clean. And,
good.
And I had only ever seen it before on video, and it looked like wet butt. I mean, this was a cheap movie. But I'm like, they went and restored this on Blu-ray, but there was a DVD disc with it too. And I'm never going to use this DVD. Mm-hmm. Whatever.
Well, there's things like when I was doing all that Abbott and
the multi-packs are cheaper. If you go to Amazon, if it's the DVD Blu-ray double pack, they're almost always cheaper.
Yeah, yeah.
Than the single Blu-ray. Release.
When I was getting Abbott and Costello stuff, a lot of it isn't on Blu-ray.
Right.
But then again, a lot of that stuff.
Well, because my dad wouldn't understand the Blu-ray.
Yeah.
I just got him some Abbott and Costello. I got him the Monsters set.
Yeah, okay.
And
Universal Monsters,
He can barely figure that out to play.
If you get that on DVD, because it's not widescreen, you're almost not even getting an upgrade in the case of some of those, because it's almost just old television is like that. If you're getting old television that was shot on videotape.
Yeah.
DVD is already higher resolution than the show was shot in. So to get, All in the Family on Blu-ray doesn't make sense because it's not even going to be an upgrade.
Then there's weird things
but some television
so
Twilight Zone was shot on film, most of it. So they can scan in the film and make those television shows look good.
The 60s Star Trek was shot on film.
Yeah. Yeah.
They cleaned those up. They redid the effects.
Mm-hmm.
They went and digitized and did new effects and stuff, which some people hate.
Yeah.
Some people want the old effects.
Right.
But, they recreated. They didn't try to, they tried to follow what the effects were.
Yeah. They wanted to make those palatable for syndication in HD.
Although you can tell that they're upgraded effects. But anyway, but those look fabulous.
Okay.
And they put those on a Blu-ray.
Yeah.
But the 90s, some of the, and then they remastered Next Generation.
Yeah.
But then the shows after that, Deep Space Nine, they haven't. And they're
And those are poor quality.
And yet, even though those are newer, those are still on the shitty video.
Yeah.
And they're it's going to be kind of expensive to Blu-ray these. so they haven't done it.
Yeah.
And you're
there's.
So the 50-year-old show is remastered.
Absolutely,
and looks beautiful.
Yeah.
And the one from 1997.
Because that's the one that's
going to
sell when they do it. And that Deep Space Nine
well,
shit.
Well, Star Trek stuff will sell, but inevitably. But they must
have
done
the numbers.
They did a number crunch, and they went, this isn't worth it. But they're not even upgrading them for the streaming services.
Yeah.
Which is what you would think they would invest in. It's because,
CBS has that thing now, and I don't know how that's
CBS
going
is cheap,
over, but...
And if they put all of the Star Trek in HD for
you
their
might
new
get fans,
streaming
yeah.
service,
yeah.
as because they're using Star Trek to sell that fakakta CBS All Access.
But then streaming becomes...
But you're right.
Competition to sales... And then people won't buy the things because they're just available on streaming. I mean, they do release
things. Twilight Zone looks gorgeous.
Right.
But like Barney Miller looks like shit.
But you know.
And it's weird. The transition between audio format or visual formats is screwing up a lot of weird, and that's why there are DVDs.
Something's popular enough though, like Orange is the New Black, you can actually buy those. Even though it's on Netflix, they will sell you a set of those.
Then there's retro. By the way, there's much like there are people putting out cassettes.
Yeah.
People are putting out new issued VCR tapes.
No.
Yes.
Fuck off.
There are VHS tapes
of
cult stuff that is being reprinted.
Well, they're idiots.
And here's the thing. Tape sucked.
It did. But people put them on the shelf and
okay, tape was
they're cool looking.
Tape was a miracle in 1982.
Yes.
You were like, oh my God, I can videotape this. I can record Charles in Charge off the air. And, you know, whatever, just a name. I just pulled the name of a show out of my ass.
Yes.
But like, you know, Magnum P.I. is on. I can
pull the name of your scandal-ridden 80s comedy out.
I can program in. Oh, that's true. That was a scandal-ridden one.
Like every kid got diddled on every show. That's what I've learned in the last 6 months. Every fucking kid on every show. You're a kid and you're going, boy, I'm really jealous of those Silver Spoons kids. And then they're getting bopped in the ass by the producers in their trailers while their parents are fucking lighting cigars with $100 bills. What the fuck happened to our country, Corey?
Well, I don't know. But you're like, wow. Punky Brewster.
Yeah.
She looks like she's having a great time.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, she's getting teabagged by Brandon Carter.
Absolutely. Let's not single him out, but I mean, the Disney Channel guy. Do you know about this Dan Schneider guy?
Oh, yeah.
Gee, and that
the
was
what?
The...
Wait, the fat guy from Head of the Class?
The fat guy from Head of the Class produced all these Disney Channel shows.
Okay.
And was...
Amanda
Bynes allegedly went crazy because Dan Schneider touched her inappropriately.
Joel is a...
What the fuck?
Slimmed down version of what he once was, but not. We're not gonna. I'm not gonna. You've lost a lot of weight.
Are you gonna compare me to Dan Schneider?
Hold on. You've lost a lot of weight, okay. But you're not exactly anorexic.
No,
you're a full bodied man.
Oh my God.
I'm a tub of shit. We've found ways to finagle women. As I was just saying, you've defied all odds.
Okay,
and,
thank you.
Remained in
the Lifetime Achievement Award.
It's
the
really,
Joel
no, I'm just saying. It's impressive.
He didn't have an impressive enough year to win the Oscar, but we'll give him the Thalberg for
why
pussy.
Why is there a theme, though, that the fat, ugly guys can't
be a good title for the show.
Did you say Harvey Weinstein, Dan Schneider, these big, creepy tubs of goo?
Yeah, well, they had to get famous to get laid,
But then again, and then people are upset about...
Mario Batali.
Okay, locally, Jack Lessenberry.
Yes.
Who we have a connection to.
I don't know. No, I never met the motherfucker.
I've worked at the same paper as him for years. And I've met Jack three times at coffee at cocktail parties or, you know, Christmas parties, he never worked in the office.
Get togethers.
Yeah. But he's now having allegation. And he also was a professor at Wayne State.
He was inappropriate with students he was teaching.
That's the
allegedly.
And one of the allegations comes from somebody we know.
All right. Okay. Fair enough. I don't have to say her name.
No, but
it is in the paper, but
someone,
that's
irrelevant. Yeah, I'm just saying someone we personally know. So that maybe lends a little more credence to the,
I believe she told me that story long before it was ever in any paper.
And then
so
I asked one of my old editors. Because, like I said, Jack was never in the office, so I never dealt with him, I mean, other than the Christmas party. And he was like, oh, yeah, some of the interns from Wayne State would tell us he was creepy. And I was like, well, what? And he's like, yeah, well, because, the publisher didn't do anything about it.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, you know, this is what happens. But I thought to myself, this is a guy, 30-year career, esteemed,
right.
Won all the small press journalism awards, all the things. Why do you become a college professor?
Yeah, yeah. it's got to go through your head. Hey, maybe I could nail one of these. You know, it's got to go through your head.
No, is there any guy that's ever been a college professor and didn't want to fuck a 19-year-old?
It's weird.
And look, I know we have to protect people in this culture, and I'm certainly vehemently opposed to pedophilia and Penn State and all that kind of stuff and Larry Nassar. But if it's a college age people, why are you fucking...
If it's a 21-year-old woman and a professor,
I mean, okay. And I also understand if the woman's like, I didn't want to be hit on.
Yeah.
That's fine. But do we expect guys to not want to get laid? And also, should we not look and go, aren't guys getting jobs in prominent positions specifically to have access?
That is part of the appeal of that, isn't it? Well, that's the appeal of being a rock star, is to get girls. Yeah. And no one's accusing
them. Do you think Jimmy Page got good at guitar so he could not fuck 17-year-olds? I mean, that's the whole point.
But the girl that gets on Led Zeppelin's tour bus is different than the girl who's asking for a ride home from her college professor.
Yes, that is true.
And the situation is different, and that's where you're...
But I always think, I always wonder on the math on these things. Don't some of these... Okay, when these guys throw out a wide net and they're hitting on everybody, and they're trying to get all the starlets to come up to their hotel room or the co-eds to step by the office late at night, that's got to work to some percentage.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm sure you
I
have,
don't know what the math is on
you
that.
Have some. Well, I mean, every guy gets shot down in that regard.
But the guy,
so,
you wouldn't
I mean,
try an approach that didn't work. Anyway. All right.
We've really set up this final segment. Yeah, no one cares now about our very sad kind of, you know, and it's not the first guest of ours that has passed away. But we lost a guy who we really, really thought a lot of and was so funny.
Yeah.
On this show, on stage, Mike Lundy passed away. If you've now, Mike Lundy, I went back and looked at the shows that Mike appeared with us on, and I don't think he's been on the show in almost 10 years. So, you know, in a way, you could go, boy, how much do you miss this guy?
We've been doing the show for that long. But he was a fixture of the early shows.
We last, I think I found about 9 appearances from Mike on the show over the years. The last time he was on was he was celebrating the Obama inauguration or the Obama election victory. So that's up there. I'm going to give you some titles here, you guys. I'll have links to these on joelradio.net, but some of the times you might have heard Mike on here was... It's funny to just read the descriptions of these, and I'll do a search for a link to these. But here's some of the descriptions. This is show 197, and then we'll let you hear some of Mike, too, on one of these. The 2008 election is over, and Barack Obama will be our next president. To celebrate, Corey and Joel's official Hood correspondent and great comedian Mike Lundy sits in to give his views on Obama, why Jesse Jackson and Spike Lee are idiots, and the mood down at the barbershop. So that was one of them. We did a show called It's All New to Him, Corey and Joel number 177, where we took Mike to Motor City Pride to do interviews with the homosexuals. And there's a great bit where Mike is hit on by a tranny called I'm a Cornholer. If you want to hear some of that, we could play that for you. I believe that's
inappropriate nomenclature.
Yeah.
I believe shemale is the term. No, I don't know.
Okay. We've got Mike on show 165 talking about disgraced Detroit Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick. Mike breaks down the whole mayoral scandal and tells the guys why a dead hooker is the key to the whole affair.
Strawberry.
Yes. So we'll find
out. By the way,
out.
People are still arguing about Kwame Kilpatrick in Detroit. And his guilt and or innocence.
Yeah.
It's a hot topic.
I also have on that one, Lundy fights with Corey and Joel over their black comedy names.
Oh.
Which are Cornbread and Grape Soda. And I don't know if any... Am I Cornbread and you're Grape Soda?
I don't know.
Do we know who's...
Who can tell?
We haven't done much with those, but there's still time. He was also...
I would feel like since I'm Corey, Cornbread would make more sense.
Might. Mike was also part of Kwanzaa.
Oh, the great...
Our great celebration of lights and blacks. From whenever that was. And, of course, Ben Constant. Boy, I just realized, Corey.
Everybody's going
to
be dead.
The Kwanzaa, we're down 2 Kwanzaa comics already.
Wait, who else was on that? Was Crystal,
Ben Constantine was on
Wait, what about, was Crystal P on there?
Crystal P was on there. Keith Ruff was on
still
there.
Still alive.
That's... Nate Fritzen and Adam Sokol are still alive.
They're barely alive, yeah.
Yeah, so that's...
And by the way, those guys, I talked to Nate and Adam and Matt McClowry, and they all were... We're friends of Mike.
Oh,
and,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Held him.
Yeah.
And Mike was a genuinely great guy. Like,
yeah, super nice guy. Everybody liked him. And
we always talk about if you're not funny off stage,
yeah,
chances are you aren't going to be funny on stage. And Mike was very funny off stage.
He was. And Mike, I actually, you know, again, it's funny with, and I know we've talked about this many times. We think we talked with Derek Richards when he was here recently, but,
yeah,
you know, guys, there are guys who are awesome off stage, so funny and irreverent and can talk. And that's why Mike was so great on the show all those years. But he also was a guy who didn't deal with the business that great in a sense that he didn't take. And it wasn't even rejection, but he would have bad shows and always kind of put this onus on himself and didn't realize, I don't think, that you're going to have bad shows because that's the business we're in. And I think had he stuck around, but, you know, I know when Mike was on and he would tell us, you know, he was working at the Opera House. I mean, he was a male nurse for a while. He talked about that on the show. He was working at the Opera House. I think he got promoted to management at one point and was working nights so he couldn't do comedy and kind of fell out with it. But, I mean, Mike could have been, you know, a Hannibal Buress level type guy. He was very smart.
Yeah.
You know, very, you know, right on politically. Certainly what people think of Chappelle, Mike had a lot of that. And I'm granted, I'm not saying he would have been the next Chappelle,
no, but he could have.
But he could have been a working comic of some note.
He had a lot of potential for success in the comedy business, but I think he was a little ambivalent about it.
Yeah, and he didn't give a shit that much.
He really didn't. And the guy was, Mike was just super talented and could like charm an audience.
Yeah,
but the material sometimes he wouldn't like. Remember it or keep it, you know what I mean? Like he wouldn't do the same bit exactly the way he'd done it before
because
it just flowed out of him, and it's a shame. And then he kind of faded out and stopped doing comedy.
But how great would, apparently he was ill, right? I mean, do we know that now that he had an illness that we don't know about?
A super young guy, we have no,
he was,
I have
probably
no idea.
In his early 40s,
not younger than that.
But, I mean, here's the thing, and he did this on the show, and I wrote it in the description. It says, nobody does, show 114, channeling Cosby, nobody does like Cosby like Mike Lundy. How great would him doing a Cosby bit in wake of what Cosby's gone through?
I know.
Would that have been, and
he
had him on
in his, he had material that was honest
and
also just clever and funny, and he was, I mean, I don't want to, look, when someone dies, you overpraise.
Yeah, we do.
But
yeah,
I feel,
it's natural.
Look, I also will say the opposite.
Yeah.
If someone's an asshole, I'll let you know, because death is not an exception. Death is
not. Yeah, it's common.
It's not an unusual state of affairs. So people always go, well, you can't speak ill of the dead. Well, I'm not saying anything about Mike Lundy. I wouldn't say to his face.
Yeah.
I loved the guy.
Yeah, we did.
He was.
I called you with the news yesterday.
I know.
It was, very sad,
it was and I hadn't seen him. We hadn't seen him in a long time. So it kind of blunted the impact a little bit, but it hit me later. I mean, was a really good guy.
Yeah.
And let's remember him with some, you got something.
Again, I'm going to play, but I mean, Mike explains important stuff to us, like what right and dirty is and the proper pronunciation of chamillionaire. I mean, we were doing stuff. Well, do you want to hear his Cosby? Do you think I can find that? I mean, I have him talking to Edith Uranus, and Edith Uranus tries to get him to take his shirt off.
Well, do you have that queued up?
Yeah, I can get to that. Hold on a second. Let me find that one here, because I got to go to my music.
The Pride Fest episodes were good.
Yeah, we did. And you know what? I was listening back to these today going, boy, we should probably go back to...
Well, you know, you go over there with a microphone, and you're like doing a comedy show, and they like you're... I never wanted people to feel like we were.
Here's two men who.
Oh, that's the opening. Yeah, let me get to that.
It's Rob Rose.
I'll cue this up here. Let's listen from here.
Oh yeah. Oops, that's a punchline, isn't it?
So this is
and
Edith
then you
Uranus.
Have beautiful
really.
False eyelashes in a rainbow effect. Look at that.
Well, on my glasses, I put my eyelashes. It's a signature training.
So we're at Motor City Pride, and this guy, we had interviewed him before. He was Edith Uranus. But he had a different gimmick. I don't know if he said it yet, but he was a cornholer this year.
He had like a whole headpiece that had like styrofoam planets on it.
Yeah, I'm sure there's photos in the archives if you go to joelradio.net and look through.
Fine, you're very famous.
Everyone wants to take
pictures. We're doing an interview. Hold on a minute.
I'm a cornholer.
See, I have a new correspondent with us.
So here
Corey's
I introduce
not
Mike.
With me today, but instead I have Mike Lundy. Say hi to Mike. What do you think?
Lundy, he's
Mike,
yummy.
Did you like Mike? Mike, what do you think of I'm a cornholer's been on our show now for the last 2 years here at Motor City Pride. What do you think of I'm a cornholer here?
Interesting outfit, man. You know, I guess. What can I say?
Do you ever wear an outfit like this or anything that
you... No. No. Well, hell, you should explain to him. This is new for me, man. He was like, come out. You know, I was like, all right, I'm going to come down and see what it's like or whatever, man.
This is what it's like. It's I'm a cornholer and our various friends.
I don't buy hard. You know.
What do you think of Mike's outfit? Should Mike have worn something a little more festive today, you think?
Yeah, he's too hot. He should probably take that shirt off.
Would you like to take your shirt off for I'm a cornholer here?
No, thank you. I appreciate the comment, the thought, but yeah.
Blushing. He's blushing.
He is. He has an earring in one ear. What does that mean? Is that the gay ear, the one he has it in, or not?
Well, it depends on the person anymore.
I always heard if you had an earring in one ear, it meant, but it, depending upon the ear.
Nowadays, those supposedly straight boys have both ears pierced.
He sounds like a gay.
I was trying to not cut off the. I thought that was you talking about. But, you know, first of all, Corey, I'm very sad about Mike Lundy. But if somebody tells me Edith Uranus has passed away, I may just have to jump off a bridge. It's
and Mike
sad.
Was like not comfortable.
Oh no, he was actually uncomfortable. So that was.
But
really
you know what? He was willing to give it a shot.
Let's try.
And that was part of the Mike's general. And they say in Italian, "Mene frigissimo."
So I'm gonna cue up this Cosby.
He who does not give a fuck.
Yeah, I'm gonna cue up this Cosby one, and I have no idea where this is. So this is just a random clip from show 114.
Well.
Channeling Cosby.
Why prepare?
That made him more of my favorite guy. You know what I mean? Like, I want to have him around more because did that.
Wait, this is what we call the CC Dynamite Cat Daddy effect.
We're talking about comedy fights.
So awful, you well, memorable.
When Chill's in that chair, he's funny. Yeah, he was on the show like there, 3 weeks ago. And he was
funny. He was funny when he sat there about Black History Month and stuff. But I think when he tries to prepare, it's so...
We were talking about the roast there.
We're busting our friend Chillian Thomas's roast.
Yeah, you can go listen to that one too.
This is all inside baseball.
And Mike roasted us, so he's on that show as well. Let's hear some. Let me go.
Like
it.
Suck.
Yeah, he's really the worst.
Okay, I did watch a little bit when Master P was on there sucking. So.
See, there you go.
They got somebody equally as awful as Master P.
Master P was real bad. Billy Ray Cyrus wasn't he the worst one?
Billy Ray Cyrus. And
are you talking about The Apprentice?
Shouldn't be the worst because he's a performer.
Dancing with the Stars.
So I actually like that show in that if Corey is here, I'll sit there and watch it.
Yeah, I would not watch it on my own. That is a show you have to watch with somebody.
And I think
else.
We watched it on the DVR too, so we had recorded it and it was
Now I can't watch American Idol after the opening.
Yeah, maybe I don't know where he talked about Cosby. You'll have to download this whole thing. It's only 70 some minutes.
Well,
yeah,
there
like
you
the
go.
Shortest amount of hype ever. He did like two garbage ass movies and nobody give a shit about.
Well,
him
the
no
thing
more.
About Dane Cook though is that to his credit,
it's just so. I mean, any little soundbite of Mike is great, and maybe I'll you know I'm trying to maybe I'll probably talk about this more in a couple weeks, but I'm trying to do some YouTube content. Maybe I can find the best of Mike Lundy on our show
make
a little YouTube of that for his family anyway if they want to watch it because I think it's great.
I don't know if we want to scandalize his family.
His poor family can hear him get hit on by a tranny at Pride Fest.
Why are you going to drag the family through the mud with our show? My God.
Look, I'm very sorry for your loss.
Yeah.
Here's your son talking about homos.
Here's a cornholer asking your son to take his shirt off. If you could,
yeah,
wait, you got to get that together for the funeral.
Yeah.
What a beautiful tribute.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
A little,
if you ever saw Three Kings. But anyway, he made this movie called I Heart Huckabees, and I guess people were mad at him.
So
they released some, he was just here,
like
and I kept trying to, entertain the guy.
It's also, sadly, is not like Chicago, where you can go, well, I'm going to drop your ass on the
Mile. Yeah, I don't know.
Mile.
I don't know. I'm trying. I got to do a better tribute to Mike. But
we got
to
edit these things.
When you're going through 13 years of audio, I mean, to find where Mike was on and all that. But he was a guy that, you know, and it's Facebook really, amongst our friends, the guys that were around then all have come out and, you know, Nate Fritzen and Matt McClowry and... you know, Harold Umber was on there, and Jeff Ford.
J. Chris Newberg reached out to me.
Oh, did he?
Really?
Yeah, a lot of guys. So we all liked Mike. He was a great guy,
And we're talking about guys. Those guys have gone on to do, you know, national stuff. And
But everybody remembers how, you know, not just that he was a good guy, but that he was a killer on stage. And there were guys who were
really,
like, you know.
Really funny.
You know, you took you know, you'd watch an open mic or, you know, whatever, and you'd see five, six guys, and you'd go, well, who's going to be the star? And we'd all think it would be Mike, and then it never happened for him. But, I mean, again, some guys are happy to not have that pressure, and, you know, it is a business, and show business, some people don't have that head for the business, and some guys are great at the business, and they're not funny. And like we just mentioned, Dane Cook and guys like that. Geez. And some guys can negotiate Hollywood in a way that is very challenging. But just as a guy, and that's one of the things, you know, for people that, and I know we have a rep, and I'll say I have the rep now because your name's not on this show, that, you know, oh, we should put more comics on the show. Well, there's very few guys who've done this show 9 times. And the funniest guys have done the show 9 times. So that should say it all. And that's not, I'm not trying to diss
you're
anybody.
You're putting over the show.
No, but,
like
what
it's
I'm
really
saying, but what I'm saying is that, you know, if you're good.
Mike was our Dave. He was he was our David Brenner.
Yeah.
I did the Corey and Joel show 172 times. It was like, Mike was, but you know what? We just always like Mike was just always a good guy to hang out with.
Do you remember when he interviewed us for he was doing like a video project at college?
Oh,
and
yeah.
He sat and he interviewed us. And I mean, I just found lots of he dressed up as a priest for one of the Club Bar and Halloween shows. I got photos of that.
Yeah.
We had him playing Guitar Hero in here and funny photos of that.
A lot of times when you're doing open mics,
the roast.
A lot of times you're doing open mics. You roll in and you're like, you know. Your friends are here, or you're like, oh, this guy's here, I gotta work harder, or this guy stinks, or whatever. But Mike, you were just always happy to see.
Yeah.
He was always a good guy to be around.
Yeah.
And I'd missed him in the last couple of years that he wasn't around. And,
but that happens in comedy. Guys come, guys go. Yeah.
And you never know.
Whatever happened to this guy.
You never know when the last time you're going to.
And you know, and then guys.
Last time you're going to see somebody else.
We just heard Tori Adkins is sick, who's a guy that we've known for a lot of years.
I didn't know that.
And he's got his wife has a GoFundMe up because he's got medical bills. And well, he was at the Comedy Castle last month.
Way to spring that one on me.
Well, I mean, it's just you never know with guys. Constantine.
We're also getting old, Joel.
Ben Constantine died in 2 months after they found out he had pancreatic cancer. And but here's the thing. You make jokes, but I am proud that we have a show where we recorded for 13 years. We've recorded all these guys.
Sure.
And, you know, certainly it's going to be our legacy on some level.
Well, it's
good or bad that there's going to be an archive of us.
To some extent, it's an archive of it's certainly an archive of that era of Detroit comedy.
Oh, yeah. That doesn't exist anymore.
So we've got that. And anyway,
I'm actually getting sad. And
I really,
I'm not. This is hard to do.
I really did. Mike was loved by a lot of people.
Yeah.
And,
because he was a guy, too.
I feel bad for the guys that didn't meet him.
But here's
because there's plenty of guys now that never met Mike Lundy because he hadn't been doing comedy.
No, they'd love him. And
he hadn't been around for 6-7 years.
If Lundy was doing stuff like Prankus and whatever, the recycling center and all that shit, he'd fucking kill those guys.
He'd
destroy. Here's the thing about Lundy that I always liked, and then we'll get out of here, was that, you know, the thing about Mike and what made him a great guest here is we would bring up racial issues. He would take that black perspective, tell us we were honkies, and tell us we didn't know what the fuck we were talking about, and yet he'd still be a great friend. You know, he could get upset for the sake of the show, but he never hated us. You know, he was not a guy who was...
At least I hope not.
No, I don't think he ever did,
He knew it was a bit... We did this... We do the same stuff with Chill.
Yeah.
I do that with a lot of people. It's how we operate.
But he got mad at me for wearing a shower cap because I thought it was a wave cap, and we had a big fight about that. I think that's on one of the shows we did.
Mike was always in on the bit, and he knew it came from love. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's a big loss.
Yeah.
It's a big loss.
Yeah, it really sucks. I'm sorry for his family and... anyone in comedy that knew Mike, maybe we'll do more on Mike. Like I said, maybe I can get a YouTube thing together or something. Because he deserved it. He was one of the good guys. And
I mean, and
there's a lot of good guys, but he was.
Well, there's people that Mike sadly was one of those guys that should have been bigger.
Yeah,
he should have at least on some level.
Yeah,
He was so funny.
And, you know, I definitely introduced him to people and did. But, you know, when you're doing, when you're a new comic and you got to go out and play these hillbilly rooms, and
well, that's
some guys wouldn't be
do.
Good. And certainly it was going
to
be harder for him than us, even though he was so good. You know, it's what is the audience expectation? And Mike,
God knows, I don't want
to wouldn't kowtow to those people.
I don't want to go
to change his act.
I don't want to go to Kalkaska half the time. Yeah. Imagine somebody like Lundy who had, you know.
All right. Well, good night, funny man. Rest in peace, Mike Lundy. We love you, brother. Yeah. And it's very sad. All right. Let's get out of here.
He was a good guy.
He was a great guy.
All right. Well, we've ended the show. we've had more tragic
highs and lows.
We've had more tragic endings to this podcast over the years. We've left bigger, sad impressions on people by just our terrible comedy.
Well,
but this one is well deserved. Mike Lundy.
I'm 46 and there's more estrogen in me than there was in 2008.
I'm thinking 5 years from now, it's going to be a real blubber.
Well, you know, well, it's funny. I think even listening to the old clips, we were talking real fast back then.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we were like coked up and we weren't on coke.
Real dickheads.
We were probably on Oreos or something, but we weren't on coke.
All right. Well, thanks for sticking with us.
Well, I'll play this cheerful tune to get us out of here.
The code word is Palomino. You listen to this whole show.
Palomino.
Text us.
Cravassier in honor of Mike Lundy.
There you go.
Enjoyed
there it is. Cravassier.
Cravassier.
Pour out a little crown roller.
But go to joelradio.net. I'll have some links to Mike's past appearances. And you can do a search on joelradio.net. For Mike, and you'll get all his past appearances, and he was awesome. So we're going to get out of here. Again, Star Wars this Thursday night, opening night. So if it's Friday morning, wake up. There will be a new Joel Radio with our Jedi panel reviewing Solo, a Star Wars story, which is getting mixed reviews.
Oh, boy.
But we're going to have ours. I think we nailed Last Jedi. I think me and my girlfriend are going to watch Last Jedi tonight. After we record this, because she hasn't seen it and she's going with us.
Oh, God.
So I know. I'm going to buckle down. But we're going to get through this. We're going to make it through. Mike Lundy will not see Solo.
And
maybe he'll be better
maybe
off.
Maybe he's been spared.
All right. Good night, everybody. We'll see you next time. Oh, I shouldn't pot the music down. There's a pot us down.
Speaking of pot.
Professionalism.
Sounds like we need some.
Good night.
Good night, Michael.
Good night. I'll get these levels right. Right now. No, not really. See ya.